No, I just know I'm very unhappy because they aren't taught to think about what they want or what they need.
So you say if we teach them this now, it won't be such a problem when they're teenagers? Or
if you teach them this now, they won't have such a problem asking for what they want. You know, a lot of us adults have problems asking for what we want because we can't think, what do we want? We don't think, if we could have anything, what do we want? I mean, that's like beyond us, but just right in this moment, what do we want? You ever stood in the refrigerator and looked in the refrigerator?
Every night around there.
What do I want? I don't know what I want. Because we're not taught to really think, what do we want? What do we need right now? And so growing up, we don't ever learn how to really communicate what it is we want or what it is that we need. And that part of us just kind of goes to, don't ask for what you want. Don't ask for what you need. Along with that, however, you have to teach them that no is okay. To say no is okay. No does not mean I reject you. It does not mean I hate you. It does not mean don't ever ask me that question again. No simply means not now. A lot of people, because when they were growing up, were told, no, 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 don't do that. Don't put your finger in the plug. Don't run the hot water. Don't touch the stove. No, 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 no. We have such a thing about no. And by the time we're teenagers, the no is not no. The no is a very loud no. You know, because we learn how to ask until we get what we want. The no is a very loud no. Then we start making decisions on our own, and what's the last thing we want to say? How many of you have a problem saying no to people that you really love? You want to give them every single thing that they want. Because you know how difficult it is for you to ask for anything. You wouldn't want somebody to say no to you. So we don't want to say no to anybody that we love, in case they might feel rejected. So you have to teach your children that no just means not now. And that sometimes no means no, never, don't ever bring the conversation up again. You have to make the distinction between the two. Worst that's going to happen is they'll say no, but that's the attitude to have. The worst they'll say is no. And how bad is that? That's what's going on with Danielle and Stephen. Danielle is much more free to ask for what she wants. And Stephen is much more roundabout. It's not covert. He doesn't think in terms like that. He doesn't think in terms of, what do I want to drink? His mind says, thirst. And he says, I'm really thirsty. I wish we had some juice. Not even getting up to go to the refrigerator to see if there is any juice. Thought, and he expresses it. I'm really thirsty. I wish there was some juice. And what does your head do?
Ask for what you want.
Ask for what you want.
You know where it is.
You know where it is. You know what it is. Get up and get it. High maintenance children. But for him, it doesn't think that way. For him, it thinks, I'm thirsty. And so he says, I'm thirsty. I wish I had some juice.
I never thought of it as another, just a different way of thinking.
Boys are a little slower at that age. They're very much slower at that age. When it comes to cognitive skills, they're not as quick as girls. I mean, Danielle, she catches on like this. You know, within a week, she'll have this down. She'll have this ask for what you want down. Stephen is still like, part of him's in la la land. I wish I had some juice. You know, like it would be impossible to find juice on this planet. So you really have to continue with him. And not get frustrated with him just by knowing that, how old is he? Between 7 and 9, they're just a little la-la. A little la-la, you know? Wet dreams start and things start happening and they just do a little...
You know, Barbara?
A little la-la land. Oh, now we're going to change the topic to sex.
No, I wouldn't mind. I mean, look at, you know, we wash him at night time, and in the morning we wake up. And there's always a spot.
Yeah, it's a wet drink. Yeah, so it's important that you teach him, that you talk to him about that. That it's a normal, natural function. He's not wetting the bed. Kids get really upset. Boys get really upset when they think that they're wetting the bed because they don't remember wetting the bed. Their beds are wet, and they're like, what is this? Something's wrong with me. Take me to the doctor immediately. So they're a little in la-la land at that age. So you have to just know that if they act slow, it's because they are slow. It doesn't mean that they're permanently slow. It just means that they kind of are out there, you know?
Well, I watch him. I mean, I know that he really has to think before he speaks.
He does.
He sits there and you can watch him thinking about, like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
And it's in the same way in school. He has a hard time expressing himself.
Yeah, but so do all the other boys in that classroom. My 12-year-old nephew came to visit me. He said, Aunt Barbara, I am a behavior problem. I said, you are. He said, yep. My teacher said so. My principal said so. I wasn't a behavior problem last year, but this year I'm a behavior problem. I said, oh, really? Yeah, Mom's got to go in for a conference. I said, she does. And he's real cocky, you know. He's, like, real popular and real cocky. You know, as only 12-year-olds could be. And I said, well, what is the problem? He said, well, the problem is that I'm sitting there trying to get this thing to go up and to go down, and my teacher wants me to stand up and talk. He said, now, when this thing is straight up, I am not standing up and talking. I don't care if I am a behavior problem. He said, I have just too many things on my mind. He said, and the only time that she ever calls on me is when I'm daydreaming. And what do you think I'm daydreaming about? Girls. Girls. He said, I'm daydreaming about girls, and my teacher wants me to stand up with an erection and talk about mathematics. You know, or do a problem on the board. I said, well, Richie, are all the boys in your class, are they all behavior problems? And he said, well, of course we are. He said, well, you got no control. This thing goes up, it goes down, it just does whatever the hell it wants. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out the physiology of it. And this teacher wants me to stand up. He said, it's totally embarrassing. I will not do it. He said, but my mom now thinks I'm a behavior problem. My principal now thinks I'm a behavior problem. And my teacher thinks I'm a behavior problem. So I said, what do you want me to do about it? What can I do about it, you know? What is it that you want me to do? But he said, I want you to tell my mom that this is the problem and that my mom needs to go and she needs to educate this teacher because we would answer the questions, but we're not going to stand up. I'm like, are you the valedictorian of the class? You're the one that we get to educate this teacher? He said, yes. I said, well, why don't you tell the teacher? Oh, my God, I thought he was going to. He turned beet red, and then I thought, oh, yes, that's right. This is a 12-year-old cool kid. I forgot who I was speaking to. So I said, well, why don't you tell your mom, now that you know what the problem is and you know what the solution is, why don't you tell your mom? And he said, that's a great idea. And so his mom called me, and she said, you've got to be kidding me. You want me to go to school and tell this teacher that the reason that my son is a behavior problem? I said, yes, I do. I do want you to do that. I said, obviously she doesn't remember or was never taught what it's like to be a 12-year-old. They can answer questions. You just don't ever ask them to stand up. I mean, they switch classes every 45 minutes. I mean, that's enough time to get it down to move on to the next class, you know? You need to educate your teacher about this. Yes, it's a serious problem. It's a serious problem for pre-puberty kids. So the teacher, so she went and she had a conference with the teacher and the principal. There was only one teacher that these kids were all behavior problems. And the kids had all decided that this teacher just did not like boys. She just didn't like boys. She knew what was going on. It was on purpose. She was doing it to humiliate them. They had had this little powwow, you know, in the men's room about this teacher. And so were all kind of boycotting, doing anything that she asked them to do. So Ellen went in and she asked the principal to come with her. Because Ellen, I mean, she's very prim and proper. And you don't speak about sexual things. I mean, it's been a real press for her to talk to her kids about sex. Now to have to go talk to an adult about sex was, and a principal, no less, you know, the boss of the school was very confronting, but she did it. And the teacher, they had a conference afterwards because all the teachers got together to discuss this problem. And they all found that they were kind of having the same problem. They had learned that this was a problem, but it never dawned on them. They didn't think to incorporate it into their class. And so all of those children who were behavior problems are no longer behavior problems because they aren't forced to stand up and go to the board. So she stands, they tell her what to write, and she stands there and writes it. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So he learned how to solve his own problem. Now, this is a kid who 2 years ago was a behavior problem. It was a serious behavior problem. He was a serious behavior problem because of his attitude. And now he's problem solving. So that's what happens when you use iMessages, and that's what happens when you empower children to ask for what they want. If you can get them to think about, what do I want? What would solve this thirst right now? The answer to us is quite obvious. You get up, you get a drink. You don't even tell me, Mom, I'm thirsty. You just get up if you're thirsty and you go get a drink of water. Their minds don't think that way. So you have to remember that their minds don't think that way. A lot of the times, the kids are just thinking out loud. They're just trying to verbalize full sentences, no matter what age they are. They're like thinking out loud. I wish that I could, bup, 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 bup. And we as parents say, oh, we have to fulfill that request. Or how am I ever going to fulfill that request? And a lot of the times it's just that they're thinking out loud. So if you can make that distinction for yourself, it'll be easy to know if there's a request in there or if there's not a request in there. Just by saying, you know, is there a request in there? Paul?
Starting when we went back in the game, you said, I am angry about this towel being on the floor. And for some reason I got plugged in there. Are we saying then we're putting someone into overwhelm, giving them that much information?
No.
It seemed to me like when you were saying to me that you were giving them too much information, that A, you were angry, B, the towel was out.
No, that when you use I messages, I is like a blanket statement. It does not matter who put that towel on the floor. You're not saying, who put that towel on the floor? I'm angry. Because that says, whoever put this towel on the floor, I'm angry with. They can't deal with the towel and your anger. They can deal with your anger if they know what to do about the towel.
Okay.
When you say, I am angry that a towel is on my floor, you're not saying I'm angry at you. You're not being accusing. You're not saying you're a jerk because you left this towel and don't you know that you're not supposed to leave wet towels. You're simply stating, no matter who put that towel on the floor, towels on my floor make me angry. You're not saying, Paul, you make me angry because the towel's on the floor. You're saying, towels on the floor make me angry. And that's the distinction with I messages and you messages.